welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. Sitcoms in this hour. Later on, we'll hear a classic episode of Blondie. But right now, it's The Alan Young Show, part of NBC's Friday night lineup at 8:30. Over 11 million people were tuned into this next broadcast, co-starring Hans Conried, from January 10th, 1947.
Once again, here's The Alan Young Show. 30 minutes of laughs and music with Jimmy Wallington, the smart set, and that man who's young today and young forever, Alan Young.
Well, it's getting toward the end of the month. And as usual, Alan is worried about the same old thing.
Wonder how much money I have. Let's see now. I'll look in my pocket. That's one. That's two. Three. Four. Oh, here's another one. Five. That makes five pockets altogether. They're all empty, too. If I only get that ham actor Jonathan to pay me some rent for living here, I wouldn't be broke all the time. All he does is stay in his room and recite Shakespeare. Shakespeare. I'm going in right now and ask him for some money.
Mm. A horse, me kingdom for a horse. Give me another horse, I'm better than torn. A horse, me kingdom for a horse.
Jonathan, you reciting Shakespeare again?
No, my lad. I just returned from Santa Anita.
Oh. Betting on horses when you owe me $50. You've been living in this house for 3 months and you haven't given me any money.
Money, my lad, is the root of all evil. Let me quote an ancient proverb to you. Spend with caution, spend with care, and soon you'll be a millionaire. You know what ancient poet said that?
Jack Benny? Look, when are you going to give me some rent money, Jonathan?
Oh, me lad, you should be honored with me mere presence. You know, there was a time when Jonathan Millio was famous and wealthy. But you know what happens, my boy. Easy come, easy go. Easy come, easy go.
How can easy come and go when Richard won't open the door? Look, Jonathan, I've got to have some money. I haven't been able to take Dolores out for over a week.
Well, me lad, I'd give you the money if I had it, but I haven't got it. Would you turn the great Jonathan Millio out of your house? Would you throw him out into the gutter to lie there in the midst of yesterday's debris?
Now, Jonathan, please.
Now, go ahead, Miller. Go ahead. Break me, noble heart. Take the roof from over my head and toss me out into the snow. Go ahead. Toss me out into the snow.
You can stay, but please stop crying.
Okay.
Look, Johnson, I hate to keep pestering you for money, but I can't take Dolores out anymore. I'm always broke.
Oh, so what, my boy?
Oh, Hubert Updike takes her every place. He's always impressing her with his money.
Again with money. In the words of Julius Caesar, jocula presidium divisia pluribus ex brevis. English translation, if you ain't got no dough, you're nothing but a schmo.
He certainly knows what he was talking about. Just because Hubert has all that money. Oh, I'll get it, Jonathan. Hello.
Is this the First National Bank?
First National Bank? Hubert, this is Alan Young.
Oh, I got a wrong number. I was calling the First National Bank. Yeah. I wanted to give them their allowance for the week.
Stop being ridiculous, Hubert. Where are you calling from?
Well, Alan, I'm calling from a phone booth, and this call costs $50,000.
$50,000 for one phone call?
Well, I didn't have any nickels, so I bought the drugstore.
You bought the whole drugstore?
Yeah. And the strangest thing happened when I was sitting at the fountain. Right on the menu, it said, Sweetheart's Delight.
Well, what's so strange about that, Hubert?
Well, Alan, how did they know that I was coming here?
Never mind that. What did you call me about, anyway?
Well, Alan, I just called up to tell you that I'm on my way to Dolores Darlington's.
Huh? Suppose you're taking Dolores out to some fancy place tonight?
Yeah, but first to get her in the right mood, we're going to listen to some classical records.
Oh.
In fact, I just sent them out to be washed.
You sent your classical records out to be washed?
Yes, I wanted somebody to scrub my box.
Oh, that was a musical one, yeah.
All right, you know. Look, take Dolores out, but she'll still like me better than you.
Oh, not after tonight, Alan. Mm-hmm. I'm taking her to the most exclusive nightclubs in town. Yeah. First, we're going to the Macombo, then over to Ciro's, and then we're going dancing at the Palladium.
The Palladium? I suppose you're going to do the waltz and flukstroot?
No, no, Alan. Dolores and I are going to rumba. Mm. Oh, I was just born to rumba, Alan.
I like to rumba myself, Hubert. I like the way you throw your hips out.
I never throw mine out, Alan.
Well, Hubert, when you do the rumba, you're bound to throw your hips out.
Mine have no better place to go.
How do you like that, Jonathan? Hubert's taking Dolores out to all the fancy nightclubs tonight.
Well, you can't trust any woman, me lad. Women are treacherous creatures. Mm. They trick you into marriage. And that, me lad, is like going to the movies.
Marriage is like going to the movies?
Yes. We offer them the best years of our lives, and in return, they give us the razor's edge.
Yeah. And then they present you with a yearling. But I guess I can't really blame Dolores for going out with Hubert. He's so rich and influential.
Well, forget about it, me lad. Forget your worries. Come, let's put on the radio and relax.
The radio? Hmm. Okay, Jonathan, I'll turn it on here.
I hate you, do you hear? I can't stand you. I loathe you. I despise you. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. I hate everything about you. I never want to see you again. I hate you. I hate you.
Me lad, what program is that?
Love Comes to Sadie Jones. I better change the station here.
And now we present the Court of Missing Relatives, the program that locates the rightful heirs to estates and fortunes.
Yeah, I've always liked this program.
If any of you listeners are the rightful heirs of the following persons, come to the station at once and see Mr. Stanford. And now for our first case, the estate of the late Randolph Quagmire. When last seen, Randolph was standing in a safety zone on Hollywood Boulevard.
He must have been a tourist.
And now for our next case, the case of the late Angus McPherson.
Angus McPherson? I had a great-grandfather in Scotland called Angus.
Angus McPherson, born in Scotland, passed away 20 years ago.
Gee, that must be him.
Quiet me, lad. Let's listen.
And so far, there have been no claimants to the McPherson fortune.
McPherson fortune? Jonathan, I must be the only heir.
Well, get over to the station at once, me lad, and claim the fortune.
You're right, Jonathan. I'll go right over. What was the name of that man in charge again?
Stanford. T.W. Stanford.
Thanks a lot. See now. Oh, there's Mr. Stanford's office right over there. I've got to prove I'm a real Scotchman. Pardon me. Are you Mr. Stanford?
Yes.
Yep. Well, it's a broad, bright, moonlit Nick.
What was that?
It's a broad, bright, moonlit Nick.
Just who are you, the old lamplighter?
Well, I'm Alan Young. I'm here about the McPherson fortune. You see, I'm half Scotch.
Well, I'm a bourbon man myself. What can I do for you?
Well, my great-grandfather's name was Angus McPherson.
Well, I'll have to have some identification, young man.
Some identification, guys. I brought along these bagpipes. See?
Oh, is that what bagpipes look like? Goodness, if they were on a cow, they'd give milk.
Hey, but hoot man in a bra, blick, moo, lick, lick, the next, the next. Hootman. Now do you think I'm a real Scotchman?
Well, I see you're wearing kilts.
Good, I hope you'll pardon my skinny legs, but I come from the Bonnie Bonnie Bank. The Bonnie Bonnie Bank. I'm sorry, the Bonnie Bonnie Bank.
So, you're really
Scotch. I couldn't afford the real joke, I'm sorry. As a matter of fact, down the hall, I nearly went into the wrong room. I thought the sign on the door said laddies.
By the way, what's that in front of your kilt?
Oh, that's a Scotch purse.
Goodness, you look like a fuller brush man wearing a sample at half mast.
Mr. Stanford, I'm very anxious about the McPherson fortune. I'm sure that I'm the rightful heir.
Well, first I'll have to check the facts in the case. When did your grandfather arrive in this country?
Well, he was a very young man. In fact, he was one of the pioneers of the West.
Well, so far, so good.
He was one of the original trailblazers. I have a picture of the wagon he came out west in. See, the roads were so bad, he had to use an extra team of horses.
Let me see that picture. Just look at that wagon. He's got horses in the front and horses in the back.
Yeah. I think he called it the covered Studebaker.
Yes. Well, there's no doubt about it. And this picture proves that you're Angus McPherson's rightful heir.
Gee, well, what did my great-grandfather leave me?
It's right here in his will. I'll read it to you.
Yep.
To my rightful heirs, I, Angus McPherson, leave my most valuable possession, the Brown Derby.
The Brown Derby? He left me the Brown Derby?
Quite a surprise, isn't it, young man? According to the terms of the will, you'll come into possession of the Brown Derby at 10 o'clock tonight.
Gee, at 10 o'clock tonight, I'll be the owner of the Brown Derby.
It's time for the Smart Set with 5 minutes more.
Give me 5 minutes more, only 5 minutes more. Let me stay in your arms. Here am I begging for only 5 minutes more, only 5 minutes more of your time. Don't you know that Sunday morning you can sleep late?
Give me 5 minutes more,
only 5 minutes more. Let me stay in your arms.
We understand that Alan Young has inherited the Brown Derby. We now find him at the office of the Van Nuys Gazette, where he has gone to give his story of his inheritance to the editor.
It's a big, busy place it is. Will the editors hear my story? Hope Mr. Busby isn't too busy to see me.
Come in!
Pardon me, Mr. Busby.
Speak up, young man. I haven't got all day. I'm a busy man, you know. Busy Busby. They call me Busy Busby. Can't depend on anybody. Got to do everything myself. If I'm not down at the City Hall covering a news conference, I'm down at headquarters checking on the suspects. Well, what do you want?
Yeah. Well, Mr. Busby, I came over here with a story for you.
Just a minute. I've got to use the phone. Hello. Get me Rewrite. Hello, Rewrite. I've never seen such incompetence on a newspaper in my life. Utter confusion. We've got the stock quotations all mixed up with the comic strips. The stock quotations are all mixed up with the comic strips. Just look at it, man. Dick Tracy is selling at 6 7/8. And look at little Orphan Annie. The bottom's dropped out.
Mr. Busby, I...
Be with you in a minute, Annie.
Annie, look, Mr. Busby, cartoons only appear in the papers. In true life, you don't meet weird, funny-looking characters.
Reminds me, I gotta call my wife.
Mr. Busby.
Gotta call my wife.
Look, Mr. Busby, I was listening to a radio program today that tries to link together missing relatives.
Oh, well, who are you?
I'm the missing link. I'm the missing relative.
Never miss relatives. Glad when they're gone. My brother-in-law used to live with us. Used to wear my suits all the time.
Mr. Busby.
Wore all my suits. One day he came into the office to see me. I thought I got to work late and fired myself.
Look, my great-grandfather died and I'm the missing heir.
Missing heir? Well, buy a toupee and nobody will notice it. Well, I gotta make decisions for everybody. Gotta make decisions for everybody.
Look, Mr. Grandfather, my brown derby died and left me a missing busby. I was good at My great-grandfather died and left me a restaurant, the Brown Derby.
Great story. I'll put it right in the morning edition.
You sure you have the whole thing straight now?
Positive, positive.
Gee, that's swell. Oh, goodbye.
Goodbye. And don't forget to give my love to your wife. Charming woman, Mrs. Busby.
Talking to him is like holding a conversation with a mixmaster. He promised to put the story in the papers. Ooh, I better get over to Laura's darling's house and tell her the wonderful news.
Oh, hello, Alan, honey. Come on in.
Thanks, Dolores.
Ah, make yourself comfortable.
Okay.
Can I fix something for you?
Thanks, but nothing's broken.
I meant a drink, Alan. Can't I get you a drink?
I'll have a Coke.
A Coke? Oh, honey, I want to give you something that'll leave you breathless and make your eyes pop out.
I'll just drink it with the cap on.
Well, Alan, I didn't expect to see you this evening.
Well, Dolores, I have some wonderful news.
What is it?
Dolores, I've inherited the Brown Derby.
The Brown Derby? Why, Alan, you own one of the biggest restaurants in the world.
My great-grandfather left it to me. I'm a big businessman now.
Yes, and I'm so happy you're in a business, Alan.
So am I, Dolores.
After all, you know what it is that makes a man face the future with a smile. You know what it is that makes every man feel secure and unafraid.
Suspenders?
Well, Alan, now that you own the Brown Derby, you'll be seeing all the famous movie stars.
Yes, I guess I will.
Yes. You'll see Betty Grable, Hedy Lamarr, and Lana Turner, and... Oh, Alan, how can they resist you? You're so handsome and witty and irresistible.
Oh, I am so. I'll probably have to fight them off, you know.
See, you're changing already.
Yes, I do feel different. Now that I'm a man of means and influence, you're going to see a new Alan Young.
Alan, why are you looking at me like that?
Girl, come to me. Come to me. I must hold that hourglass figure.
Alan!
I must hold your hourglass figure. Come here. I'm going to hug you till your 3 minutes are up.
Alan, I've never seen you like this before.
I've never been important before, but now I'm a man of authority. I'm going to cover your wrist with burning kisses.
Alan!
I'm going to put my burning lips against your wrist. Sorry if I straightened out your groin curve, X.
See, honey, Hubert is due here any minute, and I have a date with him.
Oh, call off your date with Hubert Updike. You're coming along with me to the Brown Derby tonight to witness my inheritance.
Oh, I'm so thrilled, Alan. I better go right up and get dressed.
Well, I shall wait here below. Now's my chance to lord it over Hubert. Wait till Updike hears what happened.
Oh, I'm here, I'm here. Some gaze at man's answer to the shocking Miss Pilgrim.
Oh, Mr. Updike, no sense waiting for Miss Darling. She's going out with me this evening.
What is this?
You heard me, Mr. Updike. I'm taking Dolores to the Brown Derby.
Oh, Mother, call up Rooney. He slipped me a Mickey tonight.
You see, I have just inherited the Brown Derby.
The Broon Doobie. Oh, this is dreadful. I won't let you open up.
What can you do about it?
I'll foreclose my mortgage on Hollywood.
Never mind your idle threats. There's nothing you can do about it. My great-grandfather left me the Brown Derby in his will, and I'm taking over the management tonight.
Well, I'll put a stop to it, Alan. If you try to open that restaurant, I'll get all your waiters to desert you. I'll make them all go A-W-O.
A-W-O what?
We up docs never say L. Oh. I'll do something about it, Alan. R-O-O.
R-O-O.
Oh, this is awful. Alan has inherited a Broon Doobie. Well, I'll fix his wagon somehow.
Pardon me. I was told that I could find Alan Young in that house. Is that true?
Yes, yes.
Yes, good. You see, I'm supposed to present him with the Brown Derby.
So you're the one. Well, I'd punch you right in the nose if it weren't for one thing.
But what's that?
I'm such a big coward.
Well, I haven't got time to argue. I've got to give Alan Young this big round box.
Big round box? What's in that?
The Brown Derby.
The Brown Derby?
Yes, I hope it fits. It's size 7 1/4.
The Ground Derby is just a hat. Oh, I haven't been so tickled since I put on my mink underwear.
Oh, look, look. I'm Alan's best friend. Why don't you give the Brown Derby to me, and I'll give it to Alan.
Well, thank you. Goodbye.
Au revoir.
Now to louse up Alan. I'll call up the Brown Derby and tell them a crazy millionaire named Alan Young will be there tonight. Then when he runs out of a big bill and can't pay it, I will get Dolores back.
Oh, I'm such a villain. If I had a mustache, I would twirl it.
Tonight's the night that Alan Young inherits the Brown Derby. Of course, Alan thinks he's inheriting the famous restaurant. But we know all he's getting is an old hat, don't we? Let's join Alan and Dolores as they approach the Brown Derby.
Well, just think, Dolores, at 10 o'clock tonight, this beautiful restaurant will be mine.
Yes, Alan, and it's really changed you. You always used to take me to dinner in a sweatshirt. And now, look, you're wearing tails.
No, my dear, same sweatshirt. I just loosened the lining.
I hope you like this evening gown I'm wearing. It's sleeveless, strapless, and backless. Do you like it, honey?
Yes, my dear, but keep some scotch tape handy. You know, but come, Dolores, let's enter my restaurant.
Oh, Alan, it makes me so proud walking into the Brown Derby and knowing that soon it'll belong to you.
After you, Dolores.
Uh-huh. Hello. Hello, yes, yes, this is the Brown Derby. This is the manager speaking. Oh, yes, Mr. Uptight. We're expecting your millionaire friend, Alan Young. We'll see to it that the Brown Derby is completely at his disposal. Yes, sir, we will. Yes. You're right, sir. Thank you.
That looks like the manager, Dolores.
Good evening. Welcome to the Brown Derby.
Welcome to the Brown Derby. I must insist upon a more continental approach around here.
Continental? Why, the Brown Derby is quite continental, sir. Would you care some excellent smorgasbord?
Smorgasbord? I don't feel like Mexican food. Thought he'd fool me. Besides, I don't like the way you greet customers. I want a more European flavor in my restaurant.
Your restaurant?
Yes, I want you to greet them in French. I'll show you what I mean with this couple that's coming in. Ah, bonsoir, monsieur. And Mrs. Stewart. Would you care for a table à la king? Or perhaps rue de la paix with a pickle in the middle?
Just a moment, sir. What do you think you're doing?
I know the way I want my restaurant run. My name is Alan Young. Doesn't that mean anything to you, man?
Oh, you're Alan Young. Well, order anything you want. The Brown Derby is yours.
That's better. But I want you to be more careful with the service. Look at that olive. Its pimento is loose. How can you permit an olive to be served with a loose pimento?
Well, how can I keep an olive from losing its pimento?
Zip up its de-doo-dah. I don't know. I'm going to make plenty of changes around here, you bet you.
Alan, why don't we sit down at a table? It's almost 10 o'clock.
All right, Dolores. A waiter, a champagne for everybody in the restaurant, and put it on my bill.
Oh, Alan, you're wonderful. You've never acted with such authority before.
Thank you, my dear.
I was never so excited in my life. I've got butterflies in my stomach.
Yeah?
Yes. And do you know why I have butterflies in my stomach?
You went for a walk with your mouth open?
Alan, I'm excited because I'm near you.
No, that's quite understandable.
Oh, I like you this way, honey. Let me snuggle up to you.
Snuggle up?
Yes. Every time we go to a restaurant, all you ever do is count the people coming in.
I won't count the people coming in tonight, Dolores.
You won't?
No. Huh? People going out. Margo, excuse me. I'd like to look at the menu here.
Oh, look at the time, Alan. It's 10 o'clock.
Oh, at any moment now, I should come into possession of this brown derby.
Oh, Alan. Oh, Dolores.
Oh, Hubert Updike. Won't you join us, Hubert?
Yeah.
Waiter, we have another dinner guest. Will you serve him, please?
Why, certainly, sir. Here are some excellent lamb chops, sir. The finest grade of meat one can buy. Now, shall I remove the patties for you?
Ooh, how vulgar.
Hubert, I'm surprised to see you. What are you doing here?
Well, it's 10 o'clock, Alan. I want to make sure you got possession of the brown derby. Well, here you are, Alan.
Hubert, why are you handing me a big round box?
Open the box and you'll find out.
Looks like a hat. It's a brown derby.
Yes, that's what it is, Alan. That's the brown derby that your grandfather left you.
Oh, what a sweet old man leaving me. The brown derby. You mean I don't own this place?
Alan, what are you going to do? Here comes the manager with the check.
I ordered champagne for everybody. That check will be enormous. Hubert, you've got to help me out.
I'm sorry, Alan.
Hubert, how can you do this to a pal? I want to save your life. Remember the day you climbed up that tree to commit suicide?
I didn't climb up to that tree to commit suicide. I just wanted to see the top of my wallet.
Hubert, Alan is in serious trouble. You've got to help him out.
Well, I'll help him out on one condition, Dolores.
What's that?
Will you let me kiss the back of your neck?
All right, Hubert, I will.
Let you sell yourself for me? Never.
Curses. She slipped through my fingers again.
Well, pay that bill yourself, Alan. Au revoir, au revoir.
Well, what are you going to do? Here's the manager.
Here's your bill, Mr. Young. $490.
$490?
That's right, Mr. Young.
Yeah. Well, you see, I was depending on my inheritance, but...
Depending? You mean you haven't got the money?
All I got was an old hat. I guess everybody is leaving their money to Greta Garbo.
Listen here, young man. You came in here posing as a millionaire. You upset the restaurant, run up a bill for $500. Now, what are you gonna do about it?
Well, a fellow on the radio said there was an inheritance with bagpipes, and he was gonna tell me, and I said that he couldn't, and I was gonna, and... Cigarette? Getting through this pile of dishes. 900. 901. 902. You will need some more hot water. Would you turn on the hot water, Dolores? 903. I guess Red Skelton didn't pay his bill either.
The Alan Young Show with Jimmy Wallington, the songs of the Smart Set, and starring Alan Young has been a presentation of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
The Alan Young Show on Tuned to Yesterday, a scratchy favorite from January 10th, 1947 on NBC. You are listening to an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now on to the Blondie radio program. That last broadcast we just heard drew about 11 million listeners a week. This drew over 17 million radio listeners to CBS affiliates Sunday nights at 7:30 in competition with, at the time, NBC's Jack Benny, Edgar Bergen, and the Fred Allen Show block. This next broadcast heard in June of 1945.
Hour of fun with Blondie and Dagwood, brought to you by Super Suds.
Super Suds, lots more suds from Super Suds.
Larkin gives that silly laugh, the audience dies, they have applause, and we go into the show. And that was the routine every week. He couldn't do the show unless he did that. Unless he went off trying to find his bow tie and ended up with a little toilet paper bow tie attached to his shirt. That was Arthur Lake.
Last week, the Bunsteads decided to send Alexander to Camp Tokibo for his first vacation away from his home and parents. And tomorrow's the day he leaves. Blondie, Dagwood, and Alexander are just coming home after a day of shopping for the clothes and so forth that he'll need at the camp.
Oh, Dagwood, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, me too. I'm completely goofed.
Yeah. Aren't you too, Alexander?
No, I'm sort of Wazzle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's that?
Well, Wazzle means completely goofed, only more so.
Oh, Alexander, I didn't realize it would take so long to buy all the things you need for camp.
Well, it didn't. You and Pop spent most of the time buying things for yourself.
Yeah.
Pop got shirts, ties, those odd pajamas, that fancy underwear, socks, a new belt, and one of those wolf badges.
Dagwood, you didn't get one of those awful wolf badges.
Yeah, well, sure. I don't want people to think I'm a square.
And what's a square?
What's a square?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you don't get around, you're a square.
Hey, getting back to what I was talking about before you changed the subject, you did get a lot of stuff, Pop. And, Mom, you got just as much as Pop did, only yours was with lace.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I just couldn't resist those cute little aprons.
Every time I saw something I needed, you'd both be somewhere else looking for pre-war bargains.
Yeah.
Well, I thought we got everything you needed.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we did, Alexander. Well, now, what else did you want?
Well, a compass, in case I get lost in the woods. And I could use a shotgun.
A shotgun? What for?
For signaling the searching parties in case I get lost and break a leg and can't move.
Now, wait a minute.
You seem very confident that you'll get lost.
And I'd like to have one of those rubber boats, you know, in case of a flood.
Yeah, and how about a parachute in case of a tornado?
That's a good idea.
Never mind.
And I ought to have a Boy Scout axe in case I get lost on the woods.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you'd better take along a clothesline, too.
What for, Mom?
Well, for the camp director to tie you up so you won't wander off and get lost in the woods.
Let's forget about that getting lost in the woods, Ellie.
Okay, Pop. I won't mention it again. Gee, I hope they find me.
Look, did we get all the things that were on that mimeograph list? Huh?
The one they sent us from Camp Tokibo?
Yes, dear, I think so.
And tonight I have to sew name tags on all of Alexander's clothes. You know, son, tonight's your last night at home for a while.
Yeah, that's right, Mom.
Yeah, we're going to kind of miss you, Alexander.
Yes, we'll miss you, Alexander.
Good. Gee, that's nice of you to feel that way, folks.
Well, won't you miss us?
Oh, I suppose so.
Oh, but you're not sure, hmm?
Well, I suppose there'll be so much excitement, I'll probably forget all about you.
Yeah, now. You got any way to treat your parents? The least you could do is to be slightly homesick a little bit.
And if you're not going to miss me, I should at least think you'd miss my cooking.
Well, I don't think I'll miss your cooking, Mom.
What?
Huh?
Because I'm sure you'll send me some cake and cookies when you send my laundry back to me.
Oh, yes, of course I will.
And you and Pop will visit me, won't you?
Well, sure, son. We'll probably visit you next Sunday.
Well, then what are we worrying about? I know I'm not going to be homesick. But if you can't stand to be away from me that long, you can always call me up long distance.
Well, between the two of us, Dagwood, we have him all packed.
Yeah, looks like he's all ready to go, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, where is he? He skipped out of here right
to Alvin and some of his other friends.
Hmm.
Don't worry, there's still 2 hours before the train leaves.
Yeah.
My, we certainly filled up his duffel bag, didn't we?
Hmm.
What did you put in, dear?
Oh, just a few of the barest necessities.
Same here. Just the barest necessities.
Yeah, certainly are a lot of them, aren't there?
Is that you, Alexander?
Yes, it is I, Pam.
He gets that English from you, Blondie. Did you hear that? It is I stuff?
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, yes, you're right.
Yes, and he gets that from I mean me. Well, did you get everything packed? I'm sorry I wasn't here to help.
You don't look a bit sorry.
Yes, it's all done, Alexander.
I thought it might be. Thanks a lot.
Gee, that duffel bag sure is full. I can't even lift it.
Oh, it isn't so heavy, Alexander. I do. I can't even drag it.
Oh, gee, and I've got a lot of stuff here I want to put in it. My radio, my little Victrola, and that printing press, and my horseshoes and baseball bats, and a lot of other stuff.
Is that all?
Alexander, I don't think you have room for those things. Well, what's in my duffel bag now? Only the barest necessities.
Yeah, just the barest necessities.
Well, let's see now. We'll have to empty it anyhow. It's too heavy. Hey, what's this?
Huh?
Who put this in here?
Oh, I thought you might kind of like that, Alexander. It's the sandwich grill. You know, you might want to have a little snack or two in the middle of the night. You can't tell.
And look, here's a gallon jug of dill pickles.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't eat all those, Pop.
So what? I'll be visiting you at camp. Look, I also put in a few little other sandwich materials. Pickles, pig feet, lamb tongues, a couple of cans of spaghetti, a can of smoked shad, a little sardines, a jar of piccalilli, and a little peanut butter, and 15 or 20 other things I can't remember now.
No toothpicks?
Yeah.
Well, I see some hard-boiled eggs in there.
Yeah, things like that, yeah.
Oh, and here's some books. Yeah, they look very familiar.
Wow! Yeah, what's the matter?
They're school books. I just thought you might like to look them over and get ready for next year. Oh, gee, Mom, you should have told me. Phew, those books gave me an awful shock. Phew, seeing them there was like finding a rattlesnake in bed.
And I suppose that's the way you'll treat them all summer.
Well, could be.
All right, out they come.
Oh, I'll get it. Maybe that's Barbara Jean.
Barbara Jean? Well, didn't you go over to her house to say goodbye this morning?
Oh, no, that's bad psychology. I'll wait for her to come to me.
Hello, folks.
Oh, hello, Mr. Niles.
Hey, hello, Ken.
Hello, Mr. Niles.
Hey, Alexander, I've got a present for you to take to camp. And I'll bet none of you can guess what it is.
Superstars.
Someone told you, darn it. But then it's practically impossible to keep anything about Super Suds a secret. Everybody seems to know about those loads.
Now, what's all this got to do with me? I'm not going to wash clothes.
Oh, no, but you will be washing dishes. And boy, oh boy, Alexander, oh boy, how you'll welcome those big, harder-working, longer-lasting suds. You'll finish greasy pots and pans faster with punchy Super Suds on the job. Oh, here's a little bag of something I got you to take on your vacation.
Oh, gee, thanks a lot, Mr. Niles. What's in it?
Garlic, in case you get lost in the woods.
Well, I suppose that settles it. You have to get lost now.
You know,
is she a glamorous brunette with a pink ribbon in her hair?
Hmm?
Big, beautiful brown eyes.
It looks like it, all right.
You'd better let her in here.
No, I'll let her wait for a moment or two. It'll do a lot of good.
Oh, you've made her all alike. You just toy with a woman's affections.
Yeah, and the next thing we know, we're trapped.
Well, I guess by now she's about right. Why, Barbara Jean... I had no idea it was you at the door.
Hello, Alexander.
Well, come in.
Thank you very much.
Mother and Father, I'd like to present a friend of mine. This is Barbara Jean.
How do you do, Mr. and Mrs. Bumstead?
Hi, cutie pie.
You know, Pop, next year Barbara Jean will be voted Miss Grade School of 1945.
Oh, she will, huh? Oh, boy.
Be careful, Barbara Jean. Men working.
What's that, Mrs. Bumstead?
Well, don't say I didn't warn you.
Mom, please.
All right.
What was on your mind, Barbara Jean?
Uh-oh. I wanted to say goodbye to you.
Okay, say it.
Well, see, Alexander.
Oh, yeah. Don't you have something to do in the other room, parents?
No, well, we haven't got anything to do.
Oh, Dagwood, of course we have.
Yeah? What is it?
Oh, you know.
I can't think of it. Oh, yeah, sure. Excuse me, please. Excuse me.
Yeah, gladly.
Yeah.
Oh, close your mouth, Dagwood, and come on.
Yeah. Goodbye now.
Gee, how long are you going to be away, Alexander?
Oh, several weeks, I presume.
Several weeks? Oh, it'll seem like ages and ages.
Yeah? Do you really mean that?
Uh-huh.
Well, gee, why'd you have to wait until now to tell me you felt like this?
Well, I just started feeling like this.
By the time I come back, you'll probably be interested in some other guy.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, you will. I've had experience with women before. I know how you women act.
Are you catching a cold?
No.
Well, what's the matter now?
You don't believe me. Oh, and you'll be away for so terribly, terribly long. Oh, it's awful.
Holy smoke, Barbara. I'm just going to a summer camp, not in the Army. You can write to me.
Will you write to me?
Well, yeah. But don't write me any of those formal letters. I don't want any letters that start out, "Dear Mr. Bumstead."
Well, how should I start my letters to you?
I won't be sore if you call me "Dearest Alexander."
What are you going to call me?
Well, you write to me and you'll see.
Pinky wants me to write to him, too.
Uh-oh. Are you going to write to him?
Well, I don't know. Redhead's had such temper, and, well, I don't want to make him mad.
What do you want to write to that cornball for? He doesn't write interesting letters. He just says, hello, wish you were here, and then asks you to tell his mother to send him a lot of things he needs at camp. What a letter.
Well, Pinky's very cute.
Yeah, he's beautiful but dumb.
I think he's highly intelligent. And I think I'll write to him instead of you.
Oh, Barbara, you're just kidding.
No, I'm not kidding, Mr. Bumstead. I'm very fond of Pinky.
Okay. Go ahead, write to Pinky. But when you get tired of him and want to write to a real he-man, don't bother me with your letters. I'll be writing to someone else.
But, Alexander, I wanted to say goodbye to you.
Yeah, goodbye. So long.
Alexander, you can't treat me like this. Oh, please, I'm sorry I said anything about Pinky. I just wanted to make you jealous. Do you forgive me, darling?
Hey. Okay, Barbara, I forgive you. But see that you write to me.
Oh, I will, Alexander. Well, goodbye, Alexander.
Goodbye, Barbara.
Yes. Goodbye.
Well, aren't you going to... Well, goodbye.
Here's something to remember me by. Goodbye.
She kissed me. Oh, boy. I never expected that. Yippee. Oh, boy.
My goodness, Alexander.
Oh.
Well, what happened is if I hadn't been peeking, huh?
It must have been a wonderful goodbye.
Yes.
And now I think we'd better sort out that duffel bag and get the right things packed in it again.
Oh, do I have to go to camp?
Yeah, well, Alexander, I thought you wanted to go to camp more than anything else.
Well, that was 10 minutes ago. Since then, things have changed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Have I got it bad, Mom?
Yeah, the last time you fell in love, the whole family suffered for almost a month.
Well, it's going to be different this time, parents. She doesn't know I'm nuts about her. If she did, what a kicking around I'd get. Oh, do I have to go to camp, Mom? I'd sort of like to stick around and chase Barbara a little.
Alexander, I'm sure if we didn't send you to camp, you'd be sorry. Besides, Barbara might change her mind about you tomorrow.
Yeah, Alexander, you can't trust any woman.
Dagwood Bumstead.
Yes, dear, except your mother.
That's better.
A swell time if I stayed home.
But who knows how it might influence your life.
Yeah.
You may grow up to be a permanent wolf, like Mr. Dithers.
Is that bad?
It certainly is.
Yeah, well, never mind, young man. You're going to Camp T-Bone. You're going to stay home. No, you're not. You're going to go and you're going to have a good time, too. Now, let's pack that duffel bag again.
Well, that's fate for you. Just as I was getting to first base with Barbara.
Hanley Stafford, the great, beautiful late Hanley Stafford, and his gorgeous, lovely wife, well-loved wife, Viola Vaughn, was, of course, Mr. Dithers, Dagwood's boss. He did not do the picture show, the picture series. He should have. He was also Baby Snooks' father. I played Baby Snooks' boyfriend. And I used to go over, I would sneak out of the Blondie rehearsal and sneak over to Studio A and rehearse and then go from one to the other, barely making both shows, playing her boyfriend. And Hanley Stafford would do the same thing. And Hanley was brilliant, and he was given the opportunity, he was allowed the scope of rewriting the script and giving himself and Dagwood funnier lines. He was our best writer.
Alexander, we have a little more than an hour before your train leaves for Camp Tekebo.
Yeah, I'm getting sort of jittery, too.
Yeah, so am I. Something always seems to happen when someone's leaving.
Oh, dear. That's probably a man with a telegram saying Camp Tekebo's just burned down.
Yeah.
But I'll get it anyway. Oh, hello, Mr. Dithers.
Hello, Blondie.
Hello, Mr. Dithers.
Hello, unconscious. Bumstead, old friend.
Hi, Mr. Dithers.
Well, it's young Bumlet. Already. All set, eh, to go to camp?
Yes, sir, Mr. Dithers. Mm-hmm.
You know he's going to Camp Tekebo. I have to say it all the time because Dagwood can't pronounce it.
Oh, I see. Well, I just thought I'd drop over and say goodbye to you, Alexander, and calm your parents down.
Mr. Dithers, you know, this will be the first time Alexander's been away from home, and, well, we're a little nervous.
Yeah.
Don't worry about a thing. Let's see. Camp Tekebo.
Yeah.
That's up in the rattlesnake country, isn't it?
Rattlesnake?
Oh, I'm just kidding. They don't have many rattlesnakes in the swamps near Camp Tekebo. Just water moccasins and quicksand.
That stuff you sink right into?
Sure. 5 years ago, a circus with its wagons and trucks took a shortcut through Gloomy Swamp and was never heard from again.
Well, wait a minute. You mean everything was swallowed up by the quicksand?
Well, that's the story. But the natives claim some of the lions and tigers and boa constrictors are still living in the swamp.
Uh-huh.
I suppose they're pretty hungry by now. They couldn't live off the fat lady forever.
It sure sounds exciting, doesn't it, Mom?
Oh, yes. Very exciting.
Mr. Dithers, how do you go about catching a rattlesnake?
Well, first you get a forked stick.
Mr. Dithers.
Hey, that's enough. Alexander, if you see or hear a rattlesnake, I want you to take off at full throttle in the other direction.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Mr. Dithers, this is a fine way to calm us down.
Yeah. Oh, incidentally, Bumlet, here is a little present for you. A little camera of mine you can have now.
Oh, why, gee. Well, what else do you say to Mr. Dithers, Alexander?
You're welcome. I mean, thank you.
Well, glad to give it to you, Alex. I had it at the beach the other day and took some pictures of the scenery. So be sure to send me the first 5 pictures on that roll.
Okay, Mr. Dithers.
How was the swimming at the beach, Mr. Dithers?
Well, who goes to the beach to swim? I go for the sun, the sand, and the senoritas.
Yeah. You're kind of a gopher, aren't you, Mr. Dithers? Kind of a gopher, the
gopher.
Senoritas?
Well, there's that cackle again. Listen. does the OPA know you're laying eggs on the side? Come on, get off the nest and let's see how many baby vultures you had.
Mr. Dithers, it's unusual Cora let you go to the beach alone, isn't it?
Oh, well, Cora couldn't go, unfortunately. Oh, she wasn't looking very presentable. Somehow her packages of hair tint got mixed up, and her hair came out a beautiful robin's egg blue.
Oh, how awful.
Yeah, wasn't it a shame? Tell me, what colors do you have to mix together to get green?
Blue and yellow.
Oh, thanks. I'll make a note of that. Oh, by the way, you got a dash to catch that train for camp.
Oh, no. Look at the clock. We don't have to leave for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, I think Cookie must have been fooling with her hands.
Huh?
That clock's 20 minutes slow.
Oh, good heavens.
Grab my stuff. Stop me getting into the car.
All right. Come on, everyone. Let's go.
Up on the train, Alexander, and it's right here.
Goodbye, Mom. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Dithers.
So long, kids.
Now, don't forget to write, and don't catch cold.
Yeah, be careful of the canoes, and watch out for snakes, and stay away from quicksand.
Yes, and don't get lost in the woods, and do what they tell you to do, and drink plenty of milk, and don't scratch your mosquito bite.
Okay, goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Bob's
what are you doing on the train?
Blondie, on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS broadcast from June of 1945, bringing to a close this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for tuning in.